Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus, and I pray that by our worship this day, we might all know the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our midst and in our lives. I extend a particular welcome this day to those of you who are worshiping with us by our live-streamed or our recorded worship. Distance and time may be separating us, and yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So we have some announcements this morning we want to share with you, and of course, we want to thank our worship leaders for giving of their gifts and graces this day to make this worship possible. And so I extend thanks to Robin and Jeff Clausen, to Wayne Zaretter, and Sarah Lynn Keller, to Tom Foster, and Beth Canterbury. And of course, we also extend a particular thank you to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Natick, Pegasus Natick, for their technical expertise that is making this worship possible. We have a time of candle lighting during our worship service each Sunday, and so we encourage you to have a candle to light along with me as I light the Christ candle just following the announcements. We also have a time of lifting up prayer concerns and celebrations, and many of these have come to us during the week. You'll find them in the worship bulletin in a list there, but you can also send your prayer celebrations and concerns to prayers at firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers at firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those by the time of the reflection today, we should be able to incorporate them into our prayer together. As usual, we have a time post-worship fellowship immediately following our worship today. This will be by Zoom video conferencing. As always, that link can be found on our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. You can also find it in the link emailing that goes out on Fridays and Sundays, so you may very well have received it this morning, and it's also in the bulletin. Today, we'll have an abbreviated post-worship fellowship time for about a half an hour, and Sarah Lynn Keller is going to tell you why.
Good morning. Yeah, so right after our post-worship fellowship today, there will be a congregational meeting and vote regarding a proposed capital campaign for building improvements to make our worship space more accessible to all. And we just encourage everyone to come, especially our members. We do need a quorum to hold a congregational meeting like this. And so we need 50 of our members to be present in order to discuss and vote on this matter. So, and as with any congregational vote on a matter of such significance, we hope and pray that as many of you as possible will join us today to take part in affirming our intent to live into God's inspiration for us and our future. And that includes people who aren't members. We still want to hear from you, and you can certainly hear what's going on in our church life as well. So we welcome all of you to join us today at noon. And then next Saturday is Juneteenth, which is a newly minted state holiday in Massachusetts. We're thrilled about that. And so to honor this new holiday, which is, has been around for a very long time, but we are finally honoring it as a state holiday. You can join us on our front porch between 9:30 and noon next Saturday for some activities and events. This will be a family activity, so bring your children along and tell your friends and neighbors to find us. The farmers market will be going on across the street, and so we hope that you will join us for this lovely event. And then the following day, on June 20th, we will honor Juneteenth during our worship service.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. And we have a time now of demonstrating that the Spirit is in our midst. We're going to light a candle together. The candle itself isn't the Spirit, but it's the reminder that by the Spirit of God, we can do far more than we can ask or imagine together. And so let us be a people who express our belief in that as we light this candle together, knowing that distance may divide us, and yet the Spirit of the living God is in our midst. Let us continue our worship now with our responsive call to celebration.
Morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Powerful spirit, strong wind,
stirring us to life, breathing hope into despair.
Warming spirit, dancing flame,
kindling joy and filling us with courage.
Comforting spirit, gentle breeze,
refreshing our weariness, softening our grief.
Wise spirit, blazing fire,
illuminating our path, casting out the darkness.
Holy spirit, soaring dove,
calling us to worship, filling us with love.
Please join us in the opening prayer as we say together, Wondrous and unwearied God, breathe deeply into us so that we may be eased into this holy time. We come breathless to you from fretful times and blurred places, our attention splintered, our energy drained, our love glazed, our faith frayed. Still, we have been drawn here, and we thank you for this insistent yearning to worship and renew. O breath of God, fill us with life anew. Amen.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, perhaps reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, or perhaps placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's Spirit and sharing our Spirit with others in peace, or offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
I'm so pleased today to be able to let you know that this week we will be distributing scholarships to people who are engaged in higher education. And so I'll tell you a little bit about the FCC scholarship program. I am thrilled to be able to work with a wonderful team. Our scholarship team is myself, along with Dee Dee Bergeron, David Coulter, and Laura Gabron. And we really enjoy looking at the applications that come in every year. It just is a testament to the wonderful young people who we have in our congregation. So the scholarship program at First Church Natick represents a covenant between the generations, connecting the previous generation of members of this church community who gave what they had, and the current generation of this church community who have invested it wisely, and with the next generation, the young people of this church community who will be our future. And the scholarships that are awarded are a tangible proof of this covenant and also of our promise to support the young people of our church. We're fortunate to have benefactors from the past, and so we remember the names from previous generations who gave so generously to the funds that provide these scholarships today. We thank them again for their faith and confidence in the life of this church. And those people have given to these funds: the Keziah F. Babcock Fund, the Benevolent Scholarship Fund, the William Townsend Memorial Fund, the Dean Holbrook McRobert Memorial Fund, and the Haig and Gladys Markarian Fund. We are pleased to distribute the scholarships for the 2021-22 academic year this week. And our scholarship recipients are Nolan Palmer, who will be attending the Colorado School of Mines; Abigail Downton, who attends the New England School of Law; Andrew Hanna, who attends the Western New England School of Law; and Shannon Foley, who is in attendance at Villanova University. We understand that the pandemic has made their college experience more challenging than anyone could have anticipated, and we wish them the best of luck in the coming year, knowing that they are supported by this gift of scholarship, as well as the thoughts and prayers of this church family. Thank you, and congratulations to our scholarship recipients.
We come to a time now of remembering the blessings that have been placed in our hands, those things that we can share with the world. And we just had an example of that in terms of these scholarships that have been provided. And those of our spiritual ancestors who were thinking about spiritual descendants and the ways that their lives could be blessed through the gifts that they were able to make. And so we are a people who are inspirited, people who are moved by the Spirit to be the people of God in the world. One of the ways we do that is by sharing the gifts we have. We do that in lots of different ways. And one of those ways is by sharing the money gifts that we can. We invite you to send a check to the church office. We can always receive a contribution in that way. But we also invite you to use the church's online giving portal at www.firstchurchnatick.org, and you can make an online contribution in that way. We thank you for your generosity during this time and in every time, and for the specific ways that you're making it possible for mission and ministry to flourish through this congregation. May all the gifts of our life and labor that we bring before our loving God this day bring about the renewal that God intends. Thank you. Let us pray. Oh God, your Spirit leads us to speak and to act, to give and to work with unprecedented commitment and energy. And so move through us and this offering of our resources to accomplish your delivering, redemptive work in the world. By the power of the Christ in our midst, amen.
The scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning in chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And then continuing in chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, so then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Many of you have heard me refer to my father over the year or so I've been with you, and many of you know that my dad is a retired UCC minister. And as we approach Father's Day, falling as it does on a Sunday, I often think of him. The day also comes early in Pentecost, and almost always I find myself pondering the nature of this elusive third person of the Trinity and its meaning for us. Next Sunday, Father's Day, we're going to be focusing on Juneteenth. And so today I've cast my reflection as a Father's Day epistle as I try to work out what this Holy Spirit is all about. So here goes, a letter to my dad. Dear Dad, happy Father's Day. Soon to come. Being a dad myself, I know dads are good for lots of things, but a dad celebrating what I believe is his 68th anniversary of his ordination this year must have a lot to offer a son who is celebrating his mere 23rd. No doubt I have learned plenty from you, but I've rarely sought out your opinion on ministry matters. The prodigal son, I suppose I need to make my own way. But like the loving father that you have always been, I'm sure that you'll forgive me. I've always known that I can call on you if I really needed you. So here goes. Help, help, Dad. I'm coming off a week where I have just begun returning to the office in person and getting used to that commute again. When preparations for a big church vote about a capital campaign have dominated, where we're making plans for returns to in-person worship in the near future, in the midst of which my work laptop literally caught on fire, and I've had to migrate everything onto my personal one. While on the home front, our water heater's been on the fritz, and we were out of hot water in just a couple, until just a couple of days ago. You know, the kind of week that you warned me I would have when you told me When I told you that I intended to go into what we might call the family business. And here it is, the Pentecost season, when we're supposed to be celebrating the Spirit of God empowering us, but my own spirit is at a low ebb. It's also just a couple of weeks after Trinity Sunday. And while I can recite the Gloria Patri with its Trinitarian affirmation of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in my sleep, I sometimes have trouble imagining the Holy Spirit. Father, host, gardener, king, landowner, potter, these are rich biblical metaphors for the nature of God, making a transcendent deity much easier to comprehend. Or Jesus. Jesus is easily understood as the good shepherd, and I can clearly picture him going about his teaching and healing ministry. But what about the Spirit? What about the Spirit? Take Pentecost. How do we make sense of that story from the book of Acts with its mighty winds blowing and tongues of flame resting on the heads of the disciples and their newfound power to speak in other languages? I'm left wondering if all of our spirit talk isn't like the way Shakespeare's Hamlet describes life. A tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. How do you explain to yourself, let alone to anyone else, why you trust your life to a spirit who you can't entirely decipher? While there aren't many spirit-loving Pentecostals knocking on New England doors, a lot of people have made their way to the church or back to the church because they're seeking spirituality. How can I help them understand Christian spirituality if I can't explain the Spirit to myself? As I believe you've always said yourself, Dad, turning to St. Paul for clarification is almost always a mixed blessing. In the book of Romans, he so starkly contrasts life according to the flesh with life in the Spirit that he makes it seem like they are two entirely separate dimensions. And yet, he knows that God in Christ chose to put on flesh. He knows this. So what's he up to? Personally, I hunch that he is overstating his case here to drive home his central point. We are to be in the world, but not entirely of it. He says that if we're living only the way of the flesh, the world's way, that is, then we are enslaved. To be free and to take up our rightful place as God's children requires that we open ourselves to the Spirit, making a place for the Spirit to reside within us. As Teresa of Avila put it, Spirit is the life of God within us. Sounds impressive, but why doesn't it get my heart beating faster? Part of the problem is, as Frederick Buechner points out, the word spirit has come to mean something pale and shapeless, like an unmade bed. School spirit, the Christmas spirit, the spirit of 76, the Holy Spirit, each of these points to something you know is supposed to get your feet cheering, but which you somehow can't rise to. Well, that's ironic, of course, because spirit has to do with vitality. I don't have to tell you that, like its counterparts in Hebrew and Greek, the Latin word spiritus originally meant breath or life. God also has a spirit, is spirit, says the Apostle John. So God, as the power of life itself, has breathed and continues to breathe God's self into creation. You would think God's presence as a loving, sanctifying principle of our being would stir our imagination and capture our hearts. After all, there is one Greek word which has consistently characterized the Holy Spirit, and that is dynamis. Dynamis, which means power. The Spirit is power. Dynamite, in fact, right? I've always loved that Annie Dillard quote about how in worship we don't take that dynamic power seriously. Does anyone, she asks, have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? We are children playing with chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear straw hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Maybe therein lies our biggest obstacle to welcoming the Spirit into our lives. Fear. Are we afraid, as a child might be, of rushing wind and fiery flames, or of such a dynamic force set loose among us, indeed within us, or simply afraid to be led by it? Well, could be. I'm sorry to say, Dad, that I don't recall you ever preaching specifically on the Holy Spirit when I was growing up. I'm sure that you did. Boy, do I wish I had been paying attention. But I do know that year after year, despite disappointments and disillusion, you stuck with it. Remember in Gerard Manley Hopkins' poem, God's Grandeur, how the poet marvels that although the world has gone stale, and everything in it, including, I might add, the church, wears man's smudge and shares man's smell, he nonetheless asserts that it is never beyond the power of God to redeem and resurrect. Why? Well, because Hopkins says, there lies the dearest freshness deep down things, because the Holy Spirit over the bent world broods with warm breast and with awe, bright wings. I suspect that you hung in there all those years because you believe the Holy Spirit is hovering over us, and you, and the church, transforming all things eventually to their intended beauty. For me, your ministry, and mom's too for that matter, bears witness to the Spirit's presence and the Spirit's power. I know that you would tell me that the Spirit is a mystery that can't be fully defined or explained. In Buechner's words, you can tell where it's been, but it won't pose for a photo. Perhaps knowing that the Spirit's around us requires looking back and recognizing that it's done its work. But perhaps another reason ministry continued to be a calling for you was your experience with what can happen to and for and with the church when the Holy Spirit shows up. I'm thinking of this as the Natick Church is poised to gather this afternoon to vote on a capital campaign. Mere church business to some. But you and I know, Dad, that it can be more. If it involves the communal practice of discernment that places our decisions together in the context of God's ongoing activity, thoughtfully and faithfully aligning ourselves with that sense and experience of God moving in and empowering our lives. the intentional process of reflection on and participation with God's Spirit as the fundamental context in which we live and make choices. Aside from a positive vote on a capital campaign and general agreement on the projects, it should fund, more than anything, I hope today's church meeting will be one where true discernment is sought and that openness to an alignment with God's Spirit arrives to give clarity and purpose and hope and, well, maybe even joy. How sweet that can be when it happens. I chose Romans 8 for our scripture reading this day in the Pentecost season, in part because it speaks of the Spirit, but also because Paul tells us that when we cry, Abba, Father, the Aramaic equivalent of saying Daddy, it is, as Paul says, the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I think this is partly why understanding the Spirit is so important to me. Not because I think that God is literally Father or Mother, but because Paul is saying that when we know or sense God's Spirit, we know how to call on God. And through that connection, we can turn to God as a child might turn to a loving parent. Well, Dad, as with many aspects of this family business, I'm going to keep working on this one. And in the meantime, again, happy Father's Day this coming week, and thanks for introducing me to the Spirit by which I can call on God as I have called on you. Amen. We come to a time now of calling on God by the power of the Spirit. That's what we do when we join in prayer with one another. And in particular, during this time when we are not physically present to one another, we're leaning heavily on the power of the Holy Spirit to remind us that we are yet connected with one another and with our God. And so we are leaning well into that spiritual sense. It's a sense that we hope that you will have as we gather and worship each Sunday. It's also a sense that we hope that you will have in every other aspect of church life as well. And so may we be the church together, and in particular be the church together right now in prayer with one another. We have many prayer celebrations or concerns that are listed in our church's bulletin, but I'm going to turn to Wings of Redder to let us know about other prayer concerns or celebrations that have been lifted up this day. Wayne.
Good morning. Today, we thank God for birthdays, babies' laughter, and gatherings of long-distance family and friends as we begin to emerge from our cocoons of the past year. Prayers of thanks and celebration for the donation of 500 million doses of vaccine. We give thanks for our gifts and our ability to share them with the world. Lastly, we offer prayers of comfort and healing to Grace Osgood, who had emergency surgery last week and is currently hospitalized at Newton Wellesley Hospital. May Grace and her family be held in God's embrace and find strength and comfort in the prayers for healing that surround them.
May each of these named and those others who we've been praying for and with over the many weeks know the presence and power of the Spirit in their lives. Let us carry that Spirit into our prayer together now. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on your people gathered in all places this day. May the world know your desire for all people to praise and give thanks. In our differences, bring unity. In our lethargy, bring life. In our despair, bring hope. Surprising, generous God, your Spirit is among us, sending us into new adventures, opening new doors, exploring possibility beyond our dreams. We thank you for new endeavors in our lives and in our church. We thank you that your Spirit is at work even in this time when we are remaining physically separate, bringing spiritual refreshment nonetheless. We thank you for your Spirit alive in the many ways that we've continued to be church in this strange and challenging time. We thank you for those who serve our congregation in every way and serve your mission in the world by helping to nurture your Spirit within it. And we thank you that a day is surely coming soon when we will be in worship once again, worshiping as a community, physically present in the spiritual home of our familiar sanctuary. Holy One, may we always be a people filled with the desire to respond with the energy that you give us for your purposes, for the centeredness that only your Spirit can bring. Grant us new life in the Spirit this very day, we pray. In particular, as we gather as a congregation to discern how best to make those improvements to our church building that will help us all the better to be the people who you want us to be, caring and inviting and welcoming and inclusive, radically hospitable. Each and every day, we ask that your Spirit fill those named and unnamed who suffer in mourning, in anxiety, in confusion, in aimlessness, in pain, in illness. Give us light. Give us hope. Give us peace above all. Give us Spirit that we may be instruments of love and compassion in this needy and in this broken and yet beautiful world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us of our place as siblings in the family of God, and who therefore taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Siblings in Christ, let us go now as a spirited people, powerful as the wind in doing God's will, energetic as fire in extending the love of Christ. And as we do, may the blessing of God our Maker and Christ our Savior and the Holy Spirit our Counselor be upon us all. Go now in the presence and the peace of the Holy Spirit and the living Christ. Amen.